never get it.
That's as well as we need to wait.
Good morning. How are you all today? Well, there were a few things that needed to be attended to. And so, while I'm still attending to this, we have some announcements this morning. That's not it. This is it. Elders, you have a meeting tomorrow at 6 p.m. here. And elders, current and past, I guess not future yet, but current and past elders, you have a dinner coming up on Friday. The good news is that'll be fun. The bad news is it's actually $18, not $15. The price just went up. There's a $3 gratuity that we didn't know about. So y'all are going to pay that. So, never mind. I'm late, so I just will not. I will try to control my mouth. Anyway, Friday at 6 o'clock here at the church. And it will be, of course, the food is always good. But the entertainment will be fabulous, too. I don't know what it is, but if I need to provide it, I can.
I don't know what it is.
Oh. Welcome to my world. Anyway, okay. Choir starts again this week, Wednesday at 7. And if you are a Cairo or a CYF person, looking at you, there you are. Your forms for midwinter retreat are due this Thursday at noon. If you are a middle, no, this is for what grade is this? CYF high school? High school? Middle school and high school. If you are a middle school or high school person, darn. And don't know what this is about, we have people who'd be glad to tell you and send you, because this will be great. Anyway, that's all of the announcements I have that are of grave concern this week. Are there any others? Yes, ma'am. Deacons, you are all meeting on the 19th?
9:30.
Downstairs. Sign up. Deacons. All righty. Okay.
I just wondered what happened to Melissa.
Her surgery? Is that what you're talking about?
I didn't know. She was on
the... She's... we'll talk about that in a little bit when we get to the prayers. We'll let my brain try to work a little bit. So, with that, let's begin our worship service with the prelude.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Harlan. Will you please stand and join me in the call to worship? The Magi came from many places following a star. The Magi brought gifts to offer the child.
We too bring gifts, ourselves, our hopes, our dreams.
Shepherds and Magi, the meek and the mighty, all were welcome in Bethlehem.
We too come to Bethlehem and then return to our homes rejoicing.
Our opening hymn is We Three Kings, number 172 in the Pew Bible, in the hymnal. Let us pray. Eternal God, radiant with grace, thaw our fears, make us shine with your word, our hope, shine with your peace and our joy. We pray this through Jesus, our light and life, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the king, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Father.
let's see what's in this basket. Can you help me uncover it? How pretty. Is this yours? And did someone give this to you? Your mom gave it to you. And it's a beautiful angel. A beautiful angel. And the light shines through it. That's nice. Do you keep it out all year or just at Christmas time? All year. You know, angels aren't just here at Christmas, are they? They're here all the time. They're watching us and taking care of us. And angels can look like different people, or even a lovely, nice pet dog can be an angel. Angels are everywhere. They're watching us. They're comforting us, helping us when things are sad, and they rejoice with us when things are happy. Angels are pretty, pretty cool to have around. Is there anything else you want to tell us about the angel? Not really. Well, it's beautiful, and you are very lucky to have such a symbol of the angels. Okay, let's say a prayer. Dear God, thank you for giving us and sending us angels among us. We know they're there because you're watching us all the time. We look forward to our coming week of a full week of school, and we know that those angels will be watching over us. Amen. Okay, let's go to class.
As we come now to our time of prayer, we have several concerns to share. Some of you may remember Carol Forster Storer. Carol was raised in this church, and her family in this church for some time. She passed away this week. Her funeral was this yesterday. Tom Dowler's brother died this week. Trisha Wood's father died this weekend as well. Also, John and I have two cousins, Cousin Jeremy and Cousin Caroline, who both have children in Melbourne, Australia. And so we would appreciate your prayers for them because Australia is on fire. And we want to remember the people of that country. Also, with the events this week in our own country, we want to remember the members of the U.S. military who serve us well and their families, and we want to pray for our country and the world during this time. Are there other concerns or joys to share this morning? Yes, ma'am. Well,
the church has been so welcoming.
Well, we're glad you're here. Yes.
My friend's dad is diagnosed with cancer. My friend Amanda's dad. So it's great for him.
And you asked about Melissa, right?
I did.
And she is I think she's very well. I think she's recovering well. I think she had surgery. Can anybody help me on this? Help me, help me. She...
Karen.
Ah, hello. Yes.
Okay. I talked to Tammy on Friday.
Right.
Melissa's surgery went very well. It was better than they had hoped, and she is recovering well.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Tammy was here this morning, and I thought that's what she said. Wanted to make sure. Let's join together in prayer. Oh God, you have made us your people, and you have asked us to pray for your children here and around the world. And so this morning we offer to you these spoken concerns, the concerns we hold deep in our hearts, and we also offer our gratitude for all of the blessings and the gifts that we receive daily from you. And now on this day of Epiphany, this day of light and life and all things good, we would ask that Spirit of Light, you let your wisdom shine on us. Spirit of Silence, make us aware of your presence. Spirit of Courage, dispel the fear in our hearts. Spirit of Fire, inflame us with Christ's love. Spirit of Peace, help us to be still and listen to God's word. Spirit of Joy, inspire us to proclaim the good news. Spirit of Love, help us to open ourselves to the needs of others. Spirit of Power, give us your help and your strength. Spirit of Truth, guide us in the way of Christ. Spirit of God, come into our hearts and make us your new creation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I came to reading late, learning most of what I know about reading from the time I was in seventh grade. I have become one of those people who reads everything. If I can't find a book, a cereal box will work. When I am driving, one of the things that I love to do is read bumper stickers. So, I mean, there are some amazing and some that are not quite so amazing bumper stickers out there. I'll steer away, we are in church, so I will not share some of the ones that I like that are not church appropriate. But one of my favorite bumper stickers is the one that says, "Wise men still seek him." And on Epiphany Sunday, I want to remind us that wise men and women still seek the Christ child. And one of the places that we seek him is at the table, at the place that reminds us week after week of the sacrifice and the promise that is our Savior, of the place where we come together as community to worship and remember God's grace and God's love for us. So as we come together today, please remember Christ's life, his death, his resurrection, and the Spirit that lives within each of us. All who seek the Lord are welcome at this table. Our communion hymn is number 408, Come Share the Lord.
On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in memory of me." And after supper, he took a cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, which is for you. As often as you drink it, do so in memory of me."
Eternal God, whose ever-present love illuminates our lives, we give thanks for the cup which we receive at this communion table. We remember Jesus taking the bread and breaking it and giving it to his disciples, and are grateful that now we may enter into that same sense of belonging to the one who redeemed us. Be present in our midst as we dedicate ourselves this day so that as we leave this place of worship, we are assured that we do not go out alone. Amen.
Thank you.
Debbie? As you know, we have made blankets to be shared throughout the community. And today, Debbie, you okay? Good. Has brought two. Does this go with them?
Yeah, we put that in each blanket that goes out.
Okay. Each blanket, y'all may not know this, but each blanket that goes out, there's a note that says, "This simple gift comes to you with love and prayers from members and friends of the First Christian Church Disciples of Christ in Casper, Wyoming. This soft fleece was purchased, trimmed, and lovingly hand-tied by a group of volunteers from different churches in Casper. A small group of church members held this blanket and all prayed for you, asking for God's presence and blessing in your life. As you wrap it around your shoulders or lay it across your lap, as you snuggle under its warmth on a cold night or find comfort in its softness during an afternoon nap, may you feel the warmth of God's love and the gentleness of Christ's Spirit enfolding you. Our prayers are being lifted on your behalf." And in some cultures, the gift of a blanket initiates blessing, rest for the weary, and dreams for the sorrowful. And so today we are going to bless on behalf of all of the blankets that have been made. We have two here that we are going to bless. So would you pray with us, please? You got that? There we go. We're good. God of compassion, you have called us to be your children. You have made us a family to care and love one another. May these blankets be warmth and comfort for our sisters and brothers of Head Start and those of Interfaith, the Interfaith Council of Natrona County. May they surround our family and comfort them in love. May your grace shine through all we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Blessings on these blankets and blessings on you, Debbie. Thank you. Here, you want to put them down? And then we'll, you don't have to carry them. That way, there we go.
Thank you.
We'll get them. Thank you and all you do.
Wise men still seek him, and the wise men brought gifts so that the life and the ministry of Christ could thrive. Wise men and women still bring him gifts. Where the wise men brought gold and incense and precious oils, we mostly bring cash, but we also bring the tying of a blanket, the stitching of a quilt, coats for the cold, a meal for the hungry. So as you come to Christ in giving, we need the cash because we have to pay for the lights, we have to pay for the heats, we have to pay for the books, we have to pay the salaries of the people who work here. But also remember that your gifts are your talents and your service, your light in a cold, dark world. The deacons will now serve us.
Thank you.
Holy God on high, we ask that you give us wisdom in the use of these gifts, in the yearnings of our heart, so that your word can comfort and warm a world that seems to us to be broken. Let us know that we are your heart and hands, and that with your heart and hands, these gifts will go to make this world a whole and lovely place. In Christ's name, amen.
Our guest musician this morning is pianist Colin Stewart. Thank you, Colin. We need to teach him to bow. Thank you, Kathy. First reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For the darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and God's glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. And the second lesson is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out. And there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road."
Yeah. That is the better alternative. It seemed appropriate on this day when we're going to talk about light that we light the communion table candles and the Christ candle. We might want to work on that. Deacons, lighting candles. There you go. So, light. One small light. This one small light shining in the darkness. This little light shining in the darkness of night. One of the very first lessons many of us learn in life is just that. Just that. The joy, the beauty, the relief, the comfort of one little tiny light shining in the darkness. For some of us, it was a nightlight or a hall light shining through a bedroom door that was not completely shut all the way. Bedtime for children can be frightening. Well, it was for me. It was for me. Even in a room that was shared with my sister, our beds were side by side, our little twin beds side by side in that little bedroom. Or in a room that was mine that I was thrilled to have, a room that was known and familiar. I could tell you where every poster of Donny Osmond was on this wall, and every poster of David Cassidy was on this wall. Even in a room that was utterly known and familiar, the darkness was still scary. Because in the darkness, there could be something frightening under my bed. Even when I was 16 and looking at Donny Osmond, there could be something under my bed or in the closet whose door no longer shut properly.
the fear of the unknown monsters lurking in the darkness. When we were little, it would tighten our bodies and we squeezed our eyes shut and our hands trembled and it played with our minds. No matter how old we are, though, monsters are serious business. And throughout our lives, they come in many shapes, sizes, and forms. Monsters under the bed, a yell for dad or mom to come and do a quick monster check. Darkness made the work of bedtime almost impossible. Until a nightlight or a hall light was turned on. Sometimes it was the bathroom light. It was just enough. And then fear was banished. Fear was banished. And hope could return. And with the return of hope, our body and our mind and our spirit were all put at ease. And then we are able to be about the work of bedtime. And that is rest and care and refreshment for body and mind and spirit. Not so much now. But as children, that's the work of nighttime and bedtime. Rest and care and refreshment for their bodies, their minds, and their spirits. With a nightlight, children learn that even in the darkest of nights, even in the darkest of places, fear has no place and no hold on us because that one small light shining always makes way for hope. It's not by accident. It is not by accident that one of the very first songs, one of the very great hymns of the church that we learn as children is "This Little Light of Mine, Shining in the Darkness." Early in our lives, we learn to sing about hope, and we don't even realize it. As we move from the season of Christmas and now into the season of Epiphany, we carry the light of Christ with us. The word itself, Epiphany, means appearance and manifestation. It's a compound word that actually literally means to shine upon, to shine upon. The author of the epistle to Titus uses it to describe grace. He says, "For the grace of God has appeared." Okay. It has appeared. Has it walked in the door? No. "For the grace of God has shined upon us and rescued all people." The grace of God shines upon us. Of course, it's used of stars shining so brightly you can't miss them. God's grace is shining upon us, shining upon the world so brightly it's not to be missed, if we know where to look. In this third season of our church year, Epiphany is the season of light. And it begins with the story. We don't talk about wise men anymore. We talk about wise people. You'll notice our wise people were 2/3 girls. Just saying. With the story of the Magi. The story of the Magi. Those wise ones from the East. Not kings, perhaps priests. Experts in the reading of the stars and interpreting dreams. Certainly those who carry wisdom from far off places like Persia and Babylon. Those magi who saw and read, interpreted, and followed. They followed. Later, that will be the primary action of disciples. They followed that star that we so wonderfully sing about, star of wonder, star of light, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. The writer of the carol got it right. The Magi followed the star, the light of the star, to God's perfect light, God's true light itself. God's grace, God's light shining in the darkness. Unafraid of anyone, Herod, undeterred by anything, we think miles and miles of desert landscape. They followed, and when they arrived, they were filled with joy. The writer of Matthew tells us they were overwhelmed with joy. They were filled with joy that was exceedingly great. These strangers from strange lands, their entire beings were absolutely filled with joy simply when they arrived at the house. This is the place. This is the place. And when they saw the child, not a baby, a child now, with his mother, have you ever wondered what it was about just seeing Jesus with his mother that caused this reaction from them? I've always wondered that. What was it about just seeing the boy and his mother? When they saw the child with his mother, the only appropriate response for these wise ones, these strangers, already overwhelmed with joy, they fell to their knees, they bowed their heads in worship and adoration, and they offered their gifts to grace itself, to the one who is the true light now come into the world. Led by light, to the true light, filled with exceedingly great joy, fear has no place where there is light. Hope and joy are the gifts to be found in the presence of the true light of the Epiphany. And if we, like the Magi, like all those wise ones, if we are those who seek the child, if we are those who follow the light of that star, if we are those who are unafraid and undeterred and willingly accept hope and joy, if we are those who offer ourselves to the true light in worship, then we have to ask ourselves, what gift do we bring to the Christ child? Again, our little kids may know because they know about the drummer boy. On Christmas Eve, we heard about that. What gifts do we bring to the Christ child? James Howell and William Arnold have said that there have been all sorts of interpretations about the meanings of the gifts over the centuries, but when is all and said and done, it comes down to this. The Magi brought what was precious and priceless. Their gifts were generous and not stingy or cheap. The Magi brought what was precious and priceless. Their gifts were generous and not stingy or cheap. So what would we bring that is precious, priceless, and generous? What could we offer the one who dispels our fear and gives us hope and joy? What would we give to the one who is light itself? I have an idea. How about if we tried to be our truest selves? Oprah's always talking about living your best life. Well, maybe we're already living our best life, I heard someone say. But what if we tried to live life as our truest, truest self? What if we tried to be kinder and gentler with ourselves so that our truest self could be seen and known and be of service to God in this world? What is our truest self? That's just what I call it. It seems to me that our truest self is the image and likeness of the one who made us. We are all made in the image and likeness of our God. What if we tried to start living fully and completely as the one in whom God delights. You remember in creation? Creation was good. It was a good thing until the humans show up, and then it doesn't go down the tubes. It gets better. All of a sudden, creation is very good. We are the ones in whom God delights. God likes us. We deny it. We deny that by our words and by our behavior all the time. All the time. Some of us can be more comfortable with being that good little wretch that we think we are than accepting the fact of our own goodness and our own light. And some of us even like to boast about being about our silly wretchedness. I am just a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm not perfect. I'm just forgiven. That one really lets us off the hook for a whole lot, and that really lets us off the hook. But you know, being comfortable with our sins and comfortable with our mistakes does not diminish in any way the truth or the importance of our deepest, truest selves. Our sin does not and will not destroy the image of God within us. The light may dim. The light may be really dim, but it will never, ever extinguish. To lay down our own wretchedness. That sounds like something you'd give up for Lent. To lay down our own wretchedness and to pick up our own goodness. To show the image of God by intentionally growing in kindness and gentleness within your own heart, your own soul, your own body and mind. That would be a precious and priceless gift to the Christ child, to become more and more like the one who made us. That is precious. Thomas Merton once said, "There is no way of telling people that they are all walking around shining like the sun." He said, "If only we could see ourselves and each other the way God sees us, beautiful and shining like the sun." If only we could see ourselves as we really are. If only we could look in the mirror and see ourselves as God sees us. Beautiful and shining like the sun. Well, I think we would be changed. I think that would change us, inside and out. And when we change, the world has changed. And another step is taken towards the kingdom. Beloved, the world needs to be changed. The world is in desperate need of change. The world needs us to remember who we are. The world needs us to live true to the one who made us. Y'all know the answer to this. The answer to this question is no. No. Everybody knows the answer to this. One of the first lessons we learn. No. We're not going to put it under a bushel. We're not going to let whoever. No. No. It's time to let it shine. In all its glory, to know and to live as people who are shining like the sun, to see yourself, and to live as the beautiful person you are in God's eyes, to just try, and to keep trying. to keep trying to be who you have been made to be. Well, that is a precious and a priceless and a generous gift for the Christ child in this season of light. Beloved of God, arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of God has risen upon you. This little light of mine and yours, it's time to let it shine. Let us pray. Loving and faithful God, lead us, guide us, open us. Hold us up and support us so that we may live as beautiful people shining like your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Coming down off my mountain, staring away from these precious gifts, if you would like to make a confession of faith or make this church your new church home, we invite you to come forward as we sing As With Gladness, number 173. I think. Is that right? Okay. All righty. Thank you. As with gladness. Going to need some help taking down the Christmas decorations, so if you have a few minutes, stick around, please. And thank you all for being here today. And now may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah be with you all as you go forth in peace to love and serve the Lord and to shine your light. Amen.